Welcome to Logical, the UE's first and only regular legal podcast. My name is Tim Elliott, and I'm with the managing partner of the Dubai-based legal firm HPL, Yamalava and Plethka, here in Jumeirah Lakes Towers. And here is Ludmilla Yamalava. Nice to see you.
Great to see you too, Tim.
This episode, Ludmilla, is going to be all about vehicle insurance. The UAE has, as you would expect, stringent vehicle insurance regulations. Different from some countries in that generally, if you have a UAE license, it means that you're insured for any vehicle in the class that you're allowed to drive. That's how it tends to work. Assuming the owner of the vehicle has his insurance or her insurance up to date, of course. But to have a vehicle registered and on the road, the appropriate insurance is, as you would expect, a must. Let's start there.
Indeed. And for the UAE, so there's a fairly effective way of ensuring that all drivers have proper insurance. And that is every year, all those who drive in the UAE, i.e. have cars, they have to register their cars with their respective authority. In the UAE, in Dubai, it's RTA, the Road and Transportation Authority. And as part of that annual renewal, you always need to present that you have insurance. Otherwise, you cannot renew your registration for the car.
Yep.
And that's an annual registration. So that's an interesting sort of very effective way of tying in the insurance requirement to your car registration requirement, and therefore making sure that you are complying with the laws. So if you do not, at the end of the year, if you don't renew your, first of all, if you don't renew your car registration, then you will ultimately be stopped and fined and penalized. Mm-hmm. And you can even have the car seized if it's expired for too long. And therefore, you need to renew it. And if you, when you do renew it, you need to show that you have vehicle insurance. So that's a good starting point, because that means that all UAE drivers, for the most part, have to not just have to have insurance, but do have insurance by virtue of how the system here is set up. And it's, perhaps there are exceptions, but I think it's kind of difficult in the UAE to get away with without a proper car registration. So because there are cameras everywhere on the road, anytime you park anywhere. So it's any time, let's say if you don't have a registered or renewed vehicle registration and you are parked and there's a park attendant that comes and checks the parking tickets, they can see that if your car is the insurance has or the registration has expired, they actually can call the authorities and have the car seized. So it's a fairly effective mechanism here to make sure that everybody does have insurance.
Yeah, and it's the thing is, it's electronic as well. So number plates have the electronic tag on there, and it's very easy to check. All the systems are linked. That's the point. If you have insurance, anybody with a UAE license can drive your car. They are insured. It's effectively the vehicle, which is insured for a number of occupants, driver and four, or however it might work. So that's clear. Let's quickly just move into the policies that are available. There's a number of different types, I guess, to talk about, as you would expect again.
Exactly. And in fact, there are two types of insurance. And you mentioned something about insuring the driver. So there's two types of, in general terms, two types of insurance, or vehicle insurance. One is what's called the Unified Motor Insurance Policy against loss and damage. And the other one is a Unified Motor Insurance Policy against third-party liability. The loss and damage, obviously, if something happens to your car and then the third-party liability, if something happens to the other person's car or the other person, or even to the driver, for example, of your car, who is not the owner of the car. So these are two different types of insurances, and as they're called, the unified motor vehicle insurance. So there are some, this is by, as the name suggests, is a unified insurance policy or terms and conditions in the UAE. And there is special regulations that set out all the terms and conditions that are included in this unified policy. So when you get one, these sort of insurance, for the most part, the terms and conditions are described in, this in the unified insurance policy. So in other words, when you receive or when you get the insurance or buy the insurance policy, you don't necessarily get all the different pages of the insurance policy, because they are available as part of the unified insurance policy on the basic insurance website. So that's an interesting point, because the idea is that all of us, in the most part, have sort of a foundational coverage. And then on top of that, you obviously can add on the type of coverage. You can have a comprehensive coverage. You can have basic coverage. You can have comprehensive coverage plus, for example, off-road coverage. Mm-hmm. So that is an important point for the UAE in particular, because you could have a comprehensive coverage, which, as the name suggests, it's comprehensive. Therefore, theoretically, it should cover everything. But if you, for example, want to take your car off-road, and because in the UAE, there is a fairly popular activity is to take vehicles off-road. And we're talking about off-road, it means like basically sand dunes and drifting and such. So for that kind of, for those kinds of activities, there's special insurance or an add-on insurance that you could obtain. And if you don't, and you take your vehicle off-road, for example, or one of these kind of sand duning, then even your comprehensive policy may not cover those kinds of activities. So there's a basic sort of, insurance, and there's a comprehensive insurance, and there's a comprehensive plus plus ultimately. And the plus plus is really when you take your car in sort of perhaps less car worthy conditions, if you will, perhaps a little more where there's a little more liability. So, or a risk to the car. And that's why those kinds of activities are not necessarily covered by the comprehensive insurance.
It's a good point to make, actually, because off-road insurance is an important thing to have here. And it's amazing the number of people who drive four-wheel drives and think, well, I'll just head down to so-and-so, and you are not covered to drive up and down the dunes. Loads of people do it, but you shouldn't be doing it.
Well, interesting. We've even had a number of clients who've come here, very, very scared clients, because tourists have come to to the UAE and rented one of these fancy Mercedes or like off-road vehicles, or in their minds are off-road vehicles. And then they take them to the dunes, and all of a sudden they get a message from the insurance company that your car is you know, kind of in the forbidden territory, so to speak. It's off-road, and they're like panic. Ah, how do they know? And what does it mean now? Yeah. They're going to arrest me and this is why I mentioned that in the UAE it's an interesting place, because a lot of people, because of our kind of topography here, a lot of people like to come here and rent cars and go off-roading and sand duning and drifting and such. Obviously, these are fairly could be harsh conditions, fun but harsh for the car, and that's why the rental companies, in particular, they have specific limitations. So if you rent even these very expensive cars, you cannot take them off-road. And if you want to go off-road, the special rental companies, or there's special places and cars or insurance that you're required to take if you're going to take that car. But this is it's almost like a separate industry. So just because you rent a four-wheel drive that's not to say that with this four-wheel drive you can take the car four-wheeling into the desert.
Isn't that the truth? It's a completely different skill as well. It's very easy to get stuck.
This is why I'm sure the policies here and the regulations exist the way they do, exactly for the reason, because I'm sure a lot of cars have been damaged.
Okay. When you're taking out a vehicle insurance policy, just describe, break down if you would, what you need to be aware of, Ludmilla, but specifically here in the UAE.
Well, it's interesting because the practice often here is when you take insurance policy, all you get is basically this one pager document says, yes, it's insurance certificate. Now, insurance certificate makes references. Okay, so let's say it's a basic coverage, or it's a comprehensive coverage, or whatever the coverage may be. But it's usually like a one page document or a page and a half. But there's still references in this certificate to terms and conditions and exhibits and attachments and such. Yet, most people don't have copies of any of these exhibits and attachments and terms and conditions. So this is something to keep in mind, because over and over again, we see people actually spending money paying for the insurance, and ultimately, and they have a proof that they have insurance certificate, but what are the terms and conditions of these insurance policies, and specifically the exhibits that this one pager document refers is a mystery. And it's all fine if you don't ever have to invoke the insurance coverage. But in the event you do, it becomes a little bit to have your hands tied behind your back, because you have a document that shows you have something. But in terms of trying to prove to the insurance company that what it is that is covered and what they're supposed to do, what their obligations are, you truly are blinded in a way. Part of it is important to highlight that this the unified motor vehicle insurance, a lot of the terms and conditions that would apply to any one of these insurance are also outlined in this unified motor vehicle policies, and so which are available basically on the insurance website. So although I would say whenever you do take insurance, you should actually ask for the full policy. And by the way, this practice of just giving the customer the one pager document is not limited just to vehicle insurance. It's basically kind of pervasive practice to most other types of insurance. You take a health insurance, you take any other kind of insurance, they give you just certificate, almost like a confirmation that you've paid. But in terms of what you paid for, what the terms and conditions are, and what the exclusions are, and what the coverage is, and what amount of the coverage or limitations, it's nobody knows, nobody really. And when you try to insist, okay, I want to see the terms and conditions of my coverage, it's just like, oh, you know, it's confidential, or this is all you have. This is, we don't give anything more. But that is not true, because each one of these policies is supported by a whole series of terms and conditions, and whether they are available on the general insurance website as unified and standard to the policies and conditions, or specific to your insurance policy, you should still have a full copy of your insurance policy. And that's the key. The key is that whenever you buy insurance, don't just settle on, okay, I've got a certificate, it shows I have coverage. Make sure that you request, even if they tell you, well, these terms and conditions available on the website. Okay, well, have them printed. And also have a copy printed for yourself. And ideally, you'd want it to be acknowledged by the insurance provider that these are the terms and conditions apply to you, because you'd be surprised, you know, how often, irrespective of what that one's insurance certificate states, how often the insurance companies will just say, well, it's not our obligation, we don't have to cover you, and that's just it. And what do you do? And for example, it's not necessarily related to the vehicle insurance, but another type of insurance, health insurance. We have often clients who state, well, their insurance provider says that if their maternity expenses, for example, will not be covered because if they don't have a marriage certificate, if they're not married. But what does it say that? It's an insurance company said that's the law, but it's not the law. Well, it's in the policy, but where is it in the policy? There is no policy. And so this is why, if you don't have a full copy of all your terms and conditions, these are often the arguments that we see. And the insurance agents, and I have to tell you, and it's pretty impressive how confident and assertive they are in terms of what is supposedly against the law, what is supposedly not covered by the contract, without ever citing any specific provisions in the contract. Period.
Yeah. Okay.
So the key is, so my recommendation is, whenever you take insurance policy, whatever that insurance policy is, do ask for the full basic packet of information. And so you'll see any kind of insurance certificate will have references to terms and conditions, even clauses, even terms, and even exhibits or addendums. So just make sure that whatever it is, at least in that one document, that you have a reference to it. And it's not unusual. Well, I guess it is unusual because the practice has developed such, but it's not an unreasonable request for you to make sure that whoever the insurance company is that you're buying policy from gives you the full contract. Because what is an insurance policy? It's a contract. It's a contract between you and the insurance company. So sure. As part of this being the contract, you're entitled to your copy of the full contract.
And that's the point, isn't it? You are within your rights to ask for it. I mean, how it generally works here now is we all renew online, and most of us, I guess, because we want to have the no claims certificate going with it, so our insurance is, you know, kept to within certain financial limits. When we renew, it's then uploaded automatically to a server, and the Dubai Police have it, or, you know, the relevant authority has it. So because of that, it's all kind of seamless. It's kind of, you know, you don't have to print off loads of pieces of paper. We tend not to read the fine print. But you have the right to ask for it.
Well, not only the right to ask for it, you should have it, is my recommendation. Because the number, and this is perhaps why we're having this discussion, the number of cases we've seen where insurance policies or insurance companies just refuse to cover one thing or another, relying on some terms, not actually, ironically enough, they don't even rely on anything. They'll just say, just in general terms, well, it's against the policy, or the policy doesn't cover it. But when you hear the insurance company tell you the policy doesn't cover it, how do you prove that? I mean, the only way to prove that is to read the policy and make sure that it's the policy, for example, it makes that exclusion. Mm. But if you don't have the policy, you know, you have nothing to refer to. And ironically enough, a lot of the time insurance companies don't actually state specifically a provision or an article in the policy because it's not there. And yet they're quite adamant about what is covered and what is not. So I'll give you a few examples. As I said earlier, well, the health insurance is just how many times we've heard, oh, this does not cover you because you don't have you're not married. So when your maternity leave is not, or maternity health care is not covered. Show me the provision that marriage is a requirement to it.
Yeah.
It isn't. Also, we've heard a lot. It's like, well, if you're not a resident in the UAE, then your insurance policy expires. Well, I have yet to see a term in the insurance policy that states that. But perhaps one of the more interesting recent examples that we've had regarding the vehicle insurance is, and this is an illustrative example of how how insurance companies often deal with customers. One, and two, what you can kind of expect, the arguments you can expect, and sort of the hiccups or the issues that you should anticipate that might come up, and how you basically can address them. So this is, we have a client who bought a very luxurious car and did exactly that, bought an insurance policy because obviously it's a very luxurious car. It's a multi-million dirham car, brand new car. And there was, and so obviously when he was buying the car, there was insurance that was offered with it, and he took comprehensive insurance. Well, when you see the word comprehensive, what does that suggest to you? It's comprehensive, right? Mm-hmm. So comprehensive insurance, also, if you look at the UAE Unified Vehicle Insurance Policy, it's comprehensive, means there's a little more definition of what it means. Basically, it means that there are no, but it's comprehensive to the value, and it's so insurance covers up to the value of the value of the car.
And it should mean things like, I don't know, dealer servicing and, you know.
Well, these are all the right questions. But so the example here, so the client got a certificate and it's exactly that, just a one pager. So it's insurance certificate, it says comprehensive. The value of the car was like 3.5 million dirhams, and the value of, yes, exactly. The value of the insurance, because that he had paid was something like 80,000 dirhams for the insurance policy. The car is 3.5 million dirhams, right?
Sure.
So that's a one pager, his name, the details of the car, the value of the car, the cost of the insurance policy, and it's comprehensive. And then there's some references to schedules and annexes and terms and conditions. But this is it. It's like a one pager. This is it. There's nothing else to it. So what comprehensive means? So you were asking, you know, what comprehensive should mean this and that. Well, comprehensive, the definition of comprehensive should be comprehensively described in detail in the document that you can actually refer and not speculate what it means, right?
Okay.
And yet there's no document. There's nothing that explains what comprehensive is. You know, the client doesn't have it on him. So in this case, that's basically what the terms and conditions are. What these annexes and schedules that are referenced in this insurance certificate, we don't know what they are. So this is a case in point. This is a luxurious car. It's $1 million. The comprehensive insurance, and it seems like there's nothing more than, and if you look at the insurance, the UAE insurance law, comprehensive means comprehensive. There's nothing more to add unless you want a special insurance, like as I said, for off-roading, for example. So comprehensive means comprehensive. There's nothing, you cannot add plus plus because there is no more plus plus. So the only way for us to find out what basically the definition is, we went back ultimately and looked at the unified insurance policy. But we asked for the insurance company, can you please give us the full policy? No, we will not give it to you. This is basically the reality of what we're dealing with. And this is, by the way, not a small insurance company. And don't forget, we're not talking about a Kia or a Yaris for 10,000 dirhams. This is a $1 million car.
Mm.
But what happened in this particular case is this car caught fire. Okay. And it's a brand new car. And it caught fire when it was being kind of transported at the airport. And so the fire was put out, and there was a forensic report that was conducted at the time by the police. But the insurance flat out refused to pay. So the client obviously is like, well, I've got, okay, fine, I bought a very expensive car. It's a new car. I haven't driven it. I was just being basically transporting it. And I got insurance, full comprehensive insurance, fully paid for. It's not paid in installment, paid a year up front, comprehensive, paid full price. So he's not even worried. He just said, okay, well, it's the insurance will cover it. The insurance flat out refused to engage. And not only that, they were became very combative. They were accusing the client for, accusing the client for either having done something wrong to the car or some other party that was ultimately transported the car to the airport, somehow did something. But it was just very combative and very accusatory, which was very bizarre. And then they were saying, okay, we will help you deal with this other party. I don't even, which party, I don't know. So you're basically trying to deflect. Mm-hmm. It's very bizarre because if you think about it, the whole reason you're getting insurance is so that at times like this, you've got coverage. And then ultimately the insurance company, if they want to later, and if they decide it's somebody else's fault, let's say whoever transported the car to a particular place, that if it's that company's fault, that they will resolve it with that company. But the whole insurance, the idea of insurance is they pay you out. And then they, if they believe that somebody else should indemnify them, they can go after the other company or the party. But here, it's just they flat out refused to engage. They were sort of became very accusatory of the client. And then when we got involved, they refused to give us the copy of the policy. Completely flat out refused. And then started coming up with all these sort of arguments. Oh, comprehensive doesn't really mean what you think it means. So comprehensive, this kind of fire, it basically is excluded. Why? See, and this is the reason and why I started with what I started, which is when the company says, well, this kind of a fire sort of incident is excluded. Well, for you, for them to make that and for you to kind of accept that or consider that particular defense, so-called defense, you need to be able to refer to something like excluded under what?
Well, you need proof of an exclusion, don't you?
Right. But when you don't have a copy of the policy altogether, and then the company says, oh, no, that's excluded. And it's just they refuse to engage whatsoever. And then afterwards, very, very aggressively and very assertively stating, oh, this is excluded. With a sort of level of confidence and assertion, they're like, okay, well, that kind of makes you feel like you shouldn't be questioning it because obviously they must know. But what they must know, they're not citing any specific provisions, right? They're not reference any particular clause in any, they just say it's excluded. And right. So when we request, okay, so show us the policy, show us, we want to see, oh, we're not going to give you the policy. You have no right to ask for the policy. I mean, just very, very amateur, very unprofessional, very sort of kind so of you, unexplained.
You were engaged to act on behalf of the car's owner. And they refuse to give you the policy. I can understand that. I don't really understand it, but I can see I can kind of follow that logic. But what about the owner of the car? Had this person asked for that?
And that's the thing. So the owner of the car came to us after many months of basically beating his head against the wall. Okay. And okay. The insurance company was very aggressive with him and did not want to engage. The owner of the car first was just, he wasn't fazed about this very much. He's like, okay, well, fine. The car caught fire. Okay, well, obviously there's some sort of a defect in the car because, I mean, how could a brand new car caught fire? And insurance, I have full insurance. I just paid for the full insurance up front and it's comprehensive. They'll cover it. He wasn't even fazed. He wasn't even worried about it, except 6 months went by and the insurance company just was either completely unresponsive, then it became aggressive. Then they became very accusatory. And so that's at that point, the client's like, I've kind of run into a wall. I don't know what else to do. So I will, can you please look into it for me? Basically that's how it started. And then in the meantime, because remember the car burnt out. And so it's a luxury car and it was placed at the dealer's workshop. And the dealer said, we'll just fix it for you. You have to pay almost a million dirhams to get it fixed. But, and you have to pay now. Otherwise there is these garage fees and for storage fees, the car is here. And it's a million million dirhams, we'll fix it, and we want to fix it right away. And I was like, no, let's not touch it, because the whole idea is we need to get this coverage, because if the car, brand new car, catches fire, there's something wrong with the car. Mm. You just fixing it is not going to do it. It's a luxury car that's brand new that you paid $1 million for. Fixing a car in that situation, it's not cannot be fixed. So it's, in other words, it should be considered as total loss. And that's the idea. Another concept in the vehicle insurance policies is total loss, when the car is basically beyond repair, or the repairs are basically prohibitively expensive, that's just not worth the value. But in this case, our position was always that this is total loss. When you have a brand new car at that kind of price tag that catches fire on its own, obviously something is wrong with the car. So just fixing it is not going to do it. It's kind of like you buy a plane and the plane has some sort of broken engine. Just fixing the plane may not want it. You see, if there's some substantive parts or core parts are broken, you may not want that plane, even if it's fixed. And same sort of thing with a brand new car. So I was saying this is a total loss. It should be, but again, what's total loss? I have to go back into the policy, but we don't have a copy of the policy.
Okay.
So ultimately, we're relying on, after the sort of combative exercise back and forth with the insurance company, where they made us sound like we're just a bunch of yahoos not knowing anything that we're dealing. But it's really quite amazing how aggressive they can be, and they have been arguing something without making a single reference, legal reference, a single one. And it was pretty astonishing. While we are actually citing here, it's the UAE insurance policy. There's insurance law. This is the UAE insurance authority statement. So we were actually citing specific references. And then they came up with this, oh, well, in any event, we don't cover this. And by the way, if you look at the UAE Unified Motor Vehicle Insurance Policy, it defines what total loss is, and it defines a comprehensive sort of coverage. And it defines also what insurance companies must cover, what kind of incidents must cover, no matter what. And fires, car catching fires, is definitely like one of the main causes that the company, that the insurance policy covers. Mm. And it's expressly stated throughout the insurance, the unified insurance policy. So there's, it's kind of unequivocal in a way. And yet the insurance company, oh, no, it doesn't. Then they came up with this, because we were citing actual specific provisions. And they said, well, no, if it it doesn't cover, insurance does not cover, because it happened off the road, because it happened at the airport when it was being transported. We're like, what do you mean off the road? Oh, no, they said it will only cover if it's in public places. Where does that argument come from? It wasn't backed by anything, but then, yeah, it's such a bizarre logic, because okay, so if the car is parked at the mall, let's say the Dubai Mall, the Mall of Emirates, or so that's not public, right? It's a private parking. So, and if something happens to the car, that's not covered. And if the car is parked in your jointly owned property, let's say in the condominium, in the parking garage there, it's private property, so it's not covered. Or if it's parked in your building where you work, in say the DIFC, something happens, it's not covered. Mm. I mean, again, these are such nonsensical arguments. They're not even arguments, but these are the kinds of these are the sort of arguments we've had to deal with. So ultimately, after kind of beating our heads against the wall a little bit, we filed a court case, and the judge appointed an expert committee. And this is the first time we've actually had multiple experts assigned to a case, which is quite interesting. So it's like a committee. There's an insurance expert and there's a car expert. And long story short, the insurance, the expert report came out, and basically clearly, because again, there's the provisions in the laws, and there's a number of laws and regulations are very clear that comprehensive insurance is what the definition of comprehensive insurance is, what defects or what issues are covered fire being one, and also the definition of total loss. So the policy, the experts came out and issued, well, obviously citing all the same laws and provisions that we've cited before. And interestingly, the experts clearly said that because it's such a luxury car, it's a new car, and it just caught fire, and that you cannot fix that. It's not like a mirror broke, you know, a scratched sure. or the door scratched. It's the car, the engine caught fire. So therefore, the insurance committee said, or the insurance experts said that this constitutes total loss, and therefore, under the UAE insurance policies and under insurance laws, the insurance company is required and obligated to compensate for the total value of the car, which was, you know, the 3.5 million dirhams that was the value of the car. And also, interestingly enough, they make the same arguments about, in response to the insurance company's allegations about this off-road. They said that's exactly what they said. It's a nonsensical argument. What then? Anytime the car is parked at the parking lot or at the mall or in a building, then so what? It's not covered. And so it's a nonsensical argument, and completely dismissed it. So voila. So this is just basically an example of what you need to keep in mind when you do take vehicle insurance, and certainly check the terms and conditions. Make sure you have all the terms and conditions with you. Make sure that you know what you're buying, what you are paying for, what this coverage includes, and exclusions in particular. When if something like this does happen, insurance company doesn't cover your, just if you have the policy with you, you can cite it back to them, and then you can still reason with them.
Yeah.
And you know, hopefully that will be sufficient. But if not, there is certainly, the laws are fairly clear, and now that we've seen with this insurance committee, the expert committee that has been appointed by the court, they're more or less in line with what you would expect for them, how you would expect for them to read and interpret the law. But it may unfortunately require going to court to basically stand up for yourself and get them to do what they're required to do by law.
It's an extreme case, and you know, this is clearly a slightly different case to the norm because it's a luxury car, but the fine print and having that fine print and knowing your rights is the key, isn't it?
Yes, and exactly. This is more just to kind of help manage expectations, because just remember that there's so many different, the insurance legislative foundation or framework in the UAE, especially for vehicles, is pretty robust. There's a lot of different regulations. There's main laws, there's regulations, and then there is, you know, even code of ethics for insurance companies, for example. Mm. And we're citing these code of ethics to the insurance company that you are obligated by these these regulations to provide copy of the insurance. You're obligated, but it's just completely ignored. And so that's what I want to highlight, is that the laws are quite well developed. Quite well drafted, and they're fairly clear, and even the courts seem to I'm not sure if there have been many insurance claims like this that have made it to the court, but at least the cases we've seen so far, the courts seem to apply the law as you would expect them to apply. But unfortunately, often that's what it requires, is to go all the way to the court in order for the insurance companies to accept the responsibility and do what they're actually, you know, what they're required to do, because that's the very purpose of your insurance coverage.
And so we come full circle, logical on vehicle insurance. As ever, thank you for watching, listening, or both. Thanks to our legal expert, managing partner here at Yamalova & Plethka in JLT, Ludmila Yamalova. It's some story. Thanks.
Thank you.
Find us at LY Law, social media, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn. Our podcasts are free at lylawyers.com. As they are on your favorite podcast platform. If you'd like a legal question answered in an episode of Logical, or if you'd like to talk to a qualified UAE experienced legal professional, click contact at lylawyers.com.